Chapter 113. Tires and Wheels. Introduction to Tires. Purpose. The friction, or traction, between the tire and the road determines the handling characteristics of any vehicle. Think about this statement for a second. The compounding, construction, and condition of tires are some of the most important aspects of the steering, suspension, alignment, and braking systems of any vehicle. A vehicle that handles poorly or that pulls, darts, jumps, or steers funny may be suffering from defective or worn tires. Understanding the construction of a tire is important for the technician to be able to identify tire failure or vehicle handling problems. Function. Tires are mounted on wheels that are bolted to the vehicle to provide the following. Number 1. Shock absorber action when driving over rough surfaces. Number 2. Friction, or traction, between the wheels and the road. All tires are assembled by hand from many different component parts consisting of various rubber compounds, steel, and various types of fabric material. Tires are also available in many different designs and sizes. Refer to Figure 113-1. Figure A, a typical tire tread depth gauge. The center movable plunger is pushed down into the groove of the tire. Figure B, the tread depth is read at the top edge of the sleeve. In this example, the tread depth is 6/32 of an inch. Parts of a tire. Tread. Tread refers to the part of the tire that contacts the ground. Tread rubber is chemically different from other rubber parts of a tire and is compounded for a combination of traction and tire wear. Tread depth is usually 11/32 of an inch deep on new tires. This could vary, depending on manufacturer, from 9/32 to 15/32 of an inch. Figure 113-1 shows a tread depth gauge. Note, a tread depth is always expressed in 1/32 of an inch, even if the fraction can be reduced to 1/16, or 1/8. Wear indicators are also called wear bars. When tread depth is down to the legal limit of 2/32 of an inch, bald strips appear across the tread. See Figure 113-2. Tie bars are molded into the tread of most all season rated tires. These rubber reinforcement bars are placed between tread blocks on the outer tread rows to prevent unusual wear and to reduce tread noise. As the tire wears normally, the tie bars will gradually appear. This should not be mistaken for an indication of excess outer edge wear. A tire tread with what appears to be a solid band across the entire width of the tread is what the service technician should consider the wear bar indicator. Grooves are large, deep recesses molded in the tread and separating the tread blocks. These grooves are called circumferential grooves or kerfs. Grooves running sideways across the tread of a tire are called lateral grooves. See Figure 113-3. Grooves in both directions are necessary for wet traction. The trapped water can actually cause the tires to ride up on a layer of water and lose contact with the ground, as shown in Figure 113-4. This is called hydroplaning. With worn tires, hydroplaning can occur at speeds as low as 30 miles per hour on wet roads. Stopping and cornering is impossible when hydroplaning occurs. Sipes are small slits in the tread area to increase wet and dry traction. Refer to Figure 113-2. Wear indicators, or wear bars, are strips of bald tread that show when the tread depth is down to 2/32 of an inch, which is the legal limit in many states. Sidewall. The sidewall is that part of the tire between the tread and the wheel. The sidewall contains all the size and construction details of the tire. Some tires turn brown on the sidewalls after a short time. This is due to ozone, atmosphere, damage that actually causes the rubber to oxidize. Premium quality tires contain an anti-oxidizing chemical additive blended with the sidewall rubber to prevent this discoloration. White sidewall lettered. When pneumatic tires were first constructed in the early 1900s, only natural rubber was used. The entire tire was white. When it was discovered that carbon black greatly increased the toughness of a tire, it was used. The public did not like the change from white tires to black, so tire manufacturers put the carbon black, lamp black, only in the rubber that was to be used for the tread portion of the tire. This tire lasted a lot longer because the black rubber tread that touched the ground was stronger and tougher. It sold well because the sidewalls were white. White sidewall or white lettered tires actually contain a strip of white rubber under the black sidewall. This is ground off at the factory to reveal the white rubber. Only white walls or white letter lines contain this expensive white rubber. Various widths of white walls are made possible simply by changing the width of the grinding wheel. Refer to Figure 113-3. The tire tread runs around the circumference of the tire, and its pattern helps maintain traction. The ribs provide grip, while the grooves direct any water on the road away from the surface. The sipes help the tire grip the road. Refer to Figure 113-4. Hydroplaning can occur at speeds as low as 30 miles per hour, 48 kilometers per hour. If the water is deep enough and the tire tread cannot evacuate water through its grooves fast enough, the tire can be lifted off the road surface by a layer of water. Hydroplaning occurs at lower speeds as the tire becomes worn. Bead. The bead is the foundation of the tire and is located where the tire grips the inside of the wheel rim. Number 1. The bead is constructed of many turns of copper or bronze-coated steel wire. Number 2. The main body plies, or layers of material, are wrapped around the bead. Number 3. Most radial ply tires and all truck tires wrap the bead with additional material to add strength. Caution: if the bead of a tire is cut or damaged, the tire must be replaced. Refer to Figure 113-5. Typical construction of a radial tire. Some tires have only one body ply, and some tires use more than two belt plies. Body ply. A tire gets its strength from the layers of material wrapped around both beads under the tread and sidewall rubber. This creates the main framework, or carcass, of the tire. These body plies are often called carcass plies. A four-ply tire has four separate layers of material. If the body plies overlap at an angle, bias, the tire is called a bias ply tire. If only one or two body plies are used and they do not cross at an angle, but lie directly from bead to bead, then the tire is called radial ply. See Figure 113-5. Number 1. Rayon is a body ply material used in many tires because it provides a very smooth ride. A major disadvantage of rayon is that it rots if exposed to moisture. Number 2. Nylon is a strong body ply material. Though it is still used in some tires, it tends to flat spot after sitting overnight. Number 3. Aramid is the generic name for aromatic polyamide fibers developed in 1972. Aramid is several times stronger than steel, pound for pound, and is used in high-performance tire construction. Kevlar is the DuPont brand name for Aramid and a registered trademark of IE DuPont and Amores & Company and. Number 4. Polyester is the most commonly used tire material because it provides the smooth ride characteristics of rayon with the rot resistance and strength of nylon. Belt. A tire belt is two or more layers of material applied over the body plies and under the tread area only to stabilize the tread and increase tread life and handling. Number 1. Belt material can consist of the following. A. Steel mesh. B. Nylon. C. Rayon. D. Fiberglass. And E. Aramid. Number 2. All radial tires are belted. Note: most tires rated for high speed use a nylon overlay or cap belt between the two-ply belt and the tread of the tire. This overlay helps stabilize the belt package and helps hold the tire together at high speeds, when centrifugal force acts to tear a tire apart. Refer to Figure 113-6. The major splice of a tire can often be seen and felt on the inside of the tire. The person who assembles, builds, the tire usually places a sticker near the major splice as a means of identification for quality control. Inner liner. The inner liner is the soft rubber lining, usually a butyl rubber compound, on the inside of the tire that protects the body plies and helps provide for self-sealing of small punctures. Major splice. When the tire is assembled by a craftsperson on a tire building machine, the body plies, belts, and tread rubber are spliced together. The fabric is overlapped approximately 5 threads. The point where the majority of these overlaps occur is called the major splice, which represents the stiffest part of the tire. This major splice is visible on most tires on the inside, as shown in Figure 113-6. Note: on most new vehicles and or new tires, the tire manufacturer paints a dot on the sidewall near the bead, indicating the largest diameter of the tire. The largest diameter of the tire usually is near the major splice. The wheel manufacturer either marks the wheel or drills the valve core hole at the smallest diameter of the wheel. Therefore, the dot should be aligned with the valve core or marked for best balance and minimum radial runout. Tire molding. After the tire has been assembled by the tire building machine, it is called a green tire. See Figure 113-7. At this stage in construction, the rubber can be returned and reused because it has not been changed chemically. The completed green tire is then placed in a mold where its shape, tread design, and all sidewall markings are formed. See Figure 113-8. While in the mold, a steam bladder fills the inside of the tire and forces the tire against the outside of the mold. After approximately 30 minutes at 300 degrees Fahrenheit, or 150 degrees Celsius, the heat changes the chemistry of the rubber. The tire is no longer called a green tire but a cured tire, and after inspection and cleaning, it is ready for shipment. Some tires use letters at the end of the tire size, suffixes, to indicate special applications, including the following. Refer to chart on page 1340. Refer to figure 113-7. Complete stage 1. Body plies, sidewall components, and beads. Stage 2. Building drum expands in preparation to receive the belts and tread. Stage 3. Application of belt number 1. Stage 4. Application of belt number 2. Stage 5. Application of the tread. Stage 6. Drum retracts to release the completed green, uncured, tire. Frequently asked question. Why do I get shocked by static electricity when I drive a certain vehicle? Static electricity builds up in insulators due to friction of the tires with the road. Newer tires use silica and contain less carbon black in the rubber, which makes the tires electrically conductive. Because the tires cannot conduct the static electricity to the ground, it builds up inside the vehicle and is discharged through the body of the driver and/or passenger whenever the metal door handle is touched. Note: toll booth operators report being shocked by many drivers as money is being passed between the driver and the toll booth operator. Newer tire sidewall designs that use silica usually incorporate carbon sections that are used to discharge the static electricity to ground. To help reduce the static charge buildup, spray the upholstery with an anti-static spray available at discount and grocery stores. Refer to figure 113-8. After the entire tire has been assembled into a completed green tire, it is placed into a tire molding machine where the tire is molded into shape and the rubber is changed chemically by the heat. This non-reversible chemical reaction is called vulcanization. Frequently asked question. How much does tire pressure change with a change in temperature? As the temperature of a tire increases, the pressure inside the tire also increases. The general amount of pressure gain, when temperatures increase, or loss, when temperatures decrease, is as follows. 10 degrees Fahrenheit increase causes 1 psi increase. 10 degrees Fahrenheit decrease causes 1 psi decrease. For example, if a tire is correctly inflated to 35 psi when cold and then driven on a highway, the tire pressure may increase 5 psi or more. Caution: do not let air out of a hot tire. If air is released from a hot tire to bring the pressure down to specifications, the tire will be underinflated when the tire has cooled. The tire pressure specification is for a cold tire. Always check the tire pressures on a vehicle that has been driven fewer than 2 miles, or 3.2 kilometers. Air pressure in the tires also affects fuel economy. If all 4 tires are underinflated, or low on air pressure, fuel economy is reduced about 0.1 mile per gallon for each 1 psi low. For example, if all 4 tires were inflated to 25 psi instead of 35 psi, not only is tire life affected but fuel economy is reduced by about 1 mile per gallon. High flotation tires for light trucks are designed to give improved off-road performance on sand, mud, and soft soil and still provide service description. Tires built after 1990 use a service description method of sidewall information in accordance with ISO 4000, international standards. Organization, that includes size, load, and speed rating together in one easy-to-read format. See figure 113-9. Refer to chart on page 1341. High flotation tire sizes. High flotation tires for light trucks are designed to give improved off-road performance on sand, mud, and soft soil and still provide acceptable hard road surface performance. These tires are usually larger than conventional tires and require a wider than normal wheel width. High flotation tires have a size designation such as 33 by 12.50 R by 15 liters T. Refer to chart on page 1342. Frequently asked question. What effect does tire size have on overall gear ratio? Customers often ask what effect changing tire size has on fuel economy and speedometer readings. If larger, or smaller, tires are installed on a vehicle, many other factors also will change. These include the following. Number 1. Speedometer reading. If larger diameter tires are used, the speedometer will read slower than you are actually traveling. This can result in speeding tickets. Number 2. Odometer reading. Even though larger tires are said to give better fuel economy, just the opposite can be calculated. Since a larger diameter tire travels farther than a smaller diameter tire, the larger tire will cause the odometer to read a shorter distance than the vehicle actually travels. For example, if the odometer reads 100 miles traveled on tires that are 10% oversized in circumference, the actual distance traveled is 110 miles. Number 3. Fuel economy. If fuel economy is calculated on miles traveled, the result will be lower fuel economy than for the same vehicle with the original tires. Refer to Figure 113-9. Figure A, tire size designation includes cross-sectional width and aspect ratio. The aspect ratio is the proportional relationship between the width and the height of the tire expressed as a percentage. Figure B, cross-sectional view of a typical tire showing the terminology. Load index and equivalent loads. The load index, as shown in Figure 113-11, is an abbreviated method to indicate the load carrying capabilities of a tire. The weights listed in the chart represent the weight that each tire can safely support. Multiply this amount by 4 to get the maximum that the vehicle should weigh fully loaded with cargo and passengers. Speed ratings. Tires are rated according to the maximum sustained speed. A vehicle should never be driven faster than the speed rating of the tires. See Chart 113-1. Caution: a high speed rating does not guarantee that the tires will not fail, even at speeds much lower than the rating. Tire condition, inflation, and vehicle loading also affect tire performance. As the speed rating of a tire increases, fewer compromises exist for driver comfort and low noise level. The higher speed rating does not mean a better tire. To survive, a high-speed tire must be built with stiff tread compounds, reinforced body, or carcass, construction, and fabric angles that favor high speed and high performance over other considerations. For example, a V-rated tire often has less tread depth than a similar tire with an H-speed rating, and therefore will often not give as long of a service life. Since the speed ratings were first developed in Europe, the letters correspond to metric speed in kilometers per hour, with a conversion to miles per hour as noted. Refer to Figure 113-10. Notice that the overall outside diameter of the tire remains almost the same, and at the same time the aspect ratio is decreased and the rim diameter is increased. Frequently asked question: how much bigger can I go? Many owners think they can improve their vehicle by upgrading the tire size over the size that comes from the factory to make their vehicle look sportier and ride and handle better. When changing tire size, there are many factors to consider. Number 1. The tire should be the same outside diameter as the original to maintain the proper suspension, steering, and ride height specifications. Number 2. Tire size affects vehicle speed sensor values, ABS brake wheel sensor values that can change automatic transmission operation, and ABS operation. Number 3. The tire should not be so wide as to contact the inner wheel well or suspension components. Number 4. Generally, a tire that is 10 mm wider is acceptable. For example, an original equipment tire size 205/75x15, outside diameter equals 27.1 inch, can be changed to 215/75x15, outside diameter equals 27.6 inch. This much change is less than half of an inch in width and increases the outside diameter by half of an inch. Note: outside diameter is calculated by adding the wheel diameter to the cross-sectional height of the tire, multiplied by 2. See Figure 113-10. Number 5. Whenever changing tires, make sure that the load capacity is the same or greater than that of the original tires. Number 6. If wider tires are desired, a lower aspect ratio is required to maintain the same, or close to the same, overall outside diameter of the tire. Notice that the overall sidewall height is generally maintained. If even larger tires are needed, then 225/60x15s may be okay. Let's check the math. 225 × 0.60 = 135 mm. Notice that this is much too short a sidewall height when compared with the original tire, see number 6. Number 7. Use the +1 or +2 concept. When specifying wider tires, the sidewall height must be reduced to maintain the same, or close to the same, original equipment specifications. The +1 concept involves replacing the wheels with wheels 1 inch larger in diameter to compensate for the lower aspect of wider tires. The overall difference in outside diameter is only 0.5 of an inch, even though the tire width has increased from 205 to 225 mm and the wheel diameter has increased by 1 inch. If money is no object and all-out performance is the goal, a +2 concept can also be used, Use a P245/50x17 tire and change to 17-inch diameter wheels. Here the overall diameter is within 1/20th an inch of the original tire wheel combination, yet the tire width is 1.6 inches, or 40 millimeters, wider than the original tire. Refer to the section wheels later in this chapter for proper wheel back spacing and offset when purchasing replacement wheels. Tire pressure and traction. All tires should be inflated to the specifications given by the vehicle manufacturer. Most vehicles have recommended tire inflation figures written in the owner's manual or on a placard or sticker on the doorpost or glove compartment. See Figure 113-12. The pressure number molded into the sidewall of a tire should be considered the maximum pressure when the tire is cold. Pressures higher than that stated on the sidewall may be measured on a hot tire. Rim width and tire size. The rim width is the distance between the tire flanges, sometimes called the flange-to-flange width. As a general rule, for a given rim width it is best not to change tire width more than 10 mm, either wider or narrower. For a given tire width, it is best not to vary rim width more than 1/2 inch in either direction. For example, if the original tire size is 195/70x14, then either a 185/70x14, or 10 mm, or a 205/70x14, or plus 10 mm, could be used on the original rim, or wheel, without undue harm if the replacement tire has proper clearance with the body and suspension components. Installing a tire on too narrow a wheel will cause the tire to wear excessively in the center of the tread. Installing a tire on too wide a wheel will cause excessive tire wear on both edges. Refer to Figure 113-11. Typical sidewall markings for load index and speed rating following the tire size. Refer to Chart 113-1. Speed ratings are based on continuous operation at the speed rated speed. The exact speed rating for a particular Z-rated tire is determined by the tire manufacturer and may vary according to size. For example, not all brand X, Z-rated tires are rated at 170 miles per hour, even though a 1 size may be capable of these speeds. Refer to Figure 113-12. A typical door placard used on a General Motors vehicle indicating the recommended tire inflation. Note that the information also includes the size and speed rating of the tire as well as the recommended wheel size. Uniform Tire Quality Grading System. The U.S. Department of Transportation and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration developed a system of tire grading, the Uniform Tire Quality Grading System, abbreviated UTQGS, to help customers better judge the relative performance of tires. The three areas of tire performance are tread wear, traction, and temperature resistance, as shown in Figure 113-13. Note, all tires sold in the United States must have UTQGS ratings molded into the sidewall. Refer to Figure 113-13. Typical uniform tire quality grading system ratings imprinted on the tire sidewall. Tread wear. The tread wear grade is a comparison rating based on the wear rate of a standardized tire, tested under carefully controlled conditions, which is assigned a value of 100. A tire rated 200 should have a useful life twice as long as the standard tires. Note, the standard tire has a rating for tread wear of 100. This value has generally been accepted to mean a useful life of 20,000 miles of normal driving. Therefore, a tire rated at 200 could be expected to last 40,000 miles. Refer to chart on page 1345. The tread wear life of any tire is affected by driving habits, fast stops, starts, and cornering will decrease tread life, tire rotation, or lack of tire rotation, inflation, wheel alignment, road surfaces, and climate conditions. Frequently asked question. Is there a rule of thumb for rim size? According to the Tire and Rim Association Incorporated, the answer is no. Each tire size has a designated rim width on which it is designed to be mounted so as to provide the best performance and wear. The width of the specified rim also varies with rim diameter. A 235/45x17 tire may require a 7.5 inch rim, but a 235/45x19 tire may require an 8.0 inch rim. A rule of thumb that has been used is to multiply the width of the rim by 33.55 to determine the approximate tire size for the rim. For example, consider the following. Refer to chart 1345. Always check with the tire manufacturer as to the specified tire rim width that should be used. Traction. Traction performance is rated by the letters AA, A, B, and C, with AA being the highest. Note, the traction rating is for wet braking distance only. It does not include cornering traction or dry braking performance. The traction rating is only one of many other factors that affect wet braking traction, including air inflation, tread depth, vehicle speed, and brake performance. Frequently asked question: what type of tires should be used and when? Owners of vehicles are often confused when it comes to replacing tires. Unless the rims, or wheels, have been replaced with ones of a different size than the vehicle originally came with, the information needed can be found either in the owner's manual or on a sticker on the driver's door jamb. The four things that need to be checked when replacing tires include: Number 1. The correct size. A tire size describes the width of the tire, the height of the sidewall, and the rim diameter. This should be the same size that was originally on the vehicle. Number 2. Speed rating. The speed rating is given as a letter, Q, T, S, H, V, W, and Y, and should be the same as the original tires that came with the vehicle. Number 3. The load rating. This is especially important when tires are being purchased for a pickup truck or SUV where a full load may be carried. Check the load rating on the sidewall of the tires to make sure that they match or exceed the load rating of the original tires. The load rating is given as a number in combination with the speed rating, i.e., 93V, and together is known as the service description of the tire. Number 4. Summer, winter, or all-season summer tires. If the vehicle will be driven in a climate that is above 45 degrees Fahrenheit, or 7 degrees Celsius, then summer-type tires can be used. Winter tires. If the vehicle is going to be driven in winter conditions at temperatures always below 45 degrees Fahrenheit, or 7 degrees Celsius, then winter tires should be selected. All-season tires. If the vehicle will be driven under a variety of conditions and both above and below 45 degrees Fahrenheit, or 7 degrees Celsius, then all-season type tires should be selected. Temperature resistance. Temperature resistance is rated by the letters A, B, and C, with A being the highest rating. Tires generate heat while rotating and flexing during normal driving conditions. A certain amount of heat buildup is desirable because tires produce their highest coefficient of traction at normal operating temperatures. For example, race car drivers frequently swerve their cars left and right during the pace laps, causing increased friction between the tire and the road surface, which warms their tires to operating temperature. However, if temperatures rise too much, a tire can start to come apart. The oils and rubber in the tire start to become a liquid. Grade C is the minimum level that all tires must be able to pass under the current Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard No. 109. All-season tire designation. Most all-season tires are rated and labeled as M&S, MS, or M+S, and therefore must adhere to general design features as specified by the Rubber Manufacturers Association, abbreviated RMA. Tires labeled M&S are constructed with an aggressive tread design, as well as tread compounds and internal construction that are designed for mud and snow. One design feature is that the tire has at least 25% void area. This means that the tread blocks have enough open space around them to allow the blocks to grab and clean themselves of snow and mud. Block angles, dimensional requirements, and minimum cross-sectional width are also a requirement for the M&S designation. The tread rubber used to make all-season tires is also more flexible at low temperatures. This rubber compound is low bounce, called high hysteresis, and is more likely to remain in contact with the road surface. The rubber compound is also called hydrophilic, meaning that the rubber has an affinity for water, rather than being hydrophobic rubber, which repels water. Note: most vehicle manufacturers recommend that the same type of tire be used on all four wheels, even though the size of the tire may vary between front and rear on some high-performance vehicles. Therefore, if all-season replacement tires are purchased, a complete set of four should be used to be assured of proper handling and uniform traction characteristics. While tire manufacturers have been recommending this for years, since the late 1980s, most vehicle manufacturers are also recommending that all four tires be of the same construction and tread type to help ensure proper vehicle handling. DOT Tire Code. All tires sold in the United States must be approved by the U.S. Federal Department of Transportation, abbreviated DOT. The DOT Tire Code requirements include resistance to tire damage that could be caused by curbs, chuck holes, and other common occurrences for a tire used on public roads. Note: most race tires are not DOT approved and must never be used on public streets or highways. Each tire that is DOT approved has a DOT number molded into the sidewall of the tire. This number is usually imprinted on only one side of the tire and is usually on the side opposite the white wall. The DOT code includes letters and numbers, such as MJP2CBDX264. The first two letters identify the manufacturer and location. For this example, the first two letters, MJ, mean that the tire was made by the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company in Topeka, Kansas. The last three numbers are the build date code, which is the year, 1994, and the 26 means that it was built during the 26th week of 1994. Starting with tires manufactured after January 1, 2000, the tire build date includes four digits rather than three digits. A new code such as 3406 means the 34th week of 2006. See Figure 113-14. Case Study. Tire date code information saved me money. This author was looking at a 3-year-old vehicle when I noticed that the right rear tire had a build date code newer than the vehicle. I asked the owner, how badly was this vehicle hit? The owner stumbled and stuttered a little, then said, how did you know that an accident occurred? I told the owner that the right rear tire, while the exact same tire as the others, had a date code indicating that it was only 1 year old, whereas the original tires were the same age as the vehicle. The last three numbers of the DOT code on the sidewall indicate the week of manufacture, the first two numbers of the three-digit date code, followed by the last number of the year. The owner immediately admitted that the vehicle slid on ice and hit a curb, damaging the right rear tire and wheel. Both the tire and wheel were replaced and the alignment checked. The owner then dropped the price of the vehicle $500. Knowing the date code helps assure that fresh tires are purchased and can also help the technician determine if the tires have been replaced. For example, if new tires are found on a vehicle with 20,000 miles, then the technician should check to see if the vehicle may have been involved in an accident or may have more miles than indicated on the odometer. The summary. The complaint, buyer of a used car noticed that one tire was newer than the others. The cause, the owner admitted that the vehicle had slid off the road and hit a curb causing damage to the wheel and tire. The correction, because the prospective buyer knew the date code, and mentioned this to the seller, the purchase price was reduced, saving the buyer money. Tire kinicity and ply steer. Tire kinicity can occur during the construction of any radial or belted tire when the parts of the tire are badly positioned, causing the tire to be smaller in diameter on one side. When this tire is installed on a vehicle, it can cause the vehicle to pull to one side of the road due to the cone shape of the tire. See Figure 113-15. Since the cause of kinicity is due to the construction of the tire itself, there is nothing the service technician can do to correct the condition. The exact cause of the kinicity is generally due to the slight movement of the belt and tread in the mold during inflation. If a vehicle pulls to one side of the road, the service technician should switch tires left to right, left side tires to the right side and right side tires to the left side of the vehicle. If this swap of tires corrects the pulling condition, then tire kinicity was the possible cause. Note: radial pull or radial tire pull are other terms often used to describe tire kinicity. Ply steer is another term that describes a slight pulling force on a vehicle due to tire construction. Ply steer is due to the angle of the cords in the belt layers, as seen in Figure 113-16, and not in the ply layer of the carcass, or body, as the name implies. Ply steer will cause a slight drift regardless of its direction of rotation. Switching tires left to right will not correct a ply steer condition. Note: whenever a wheel and tire assembly is switched from one side of a vehicle to the other, the tire revolves in the opposite direction. Ply steer is built into the tire during construction. There is nothing a service technician can do to correct ply steer, except to compensate for it with alignment angles or replace the tire. Refer to Figure 113-14. Typical DOT date code. This tire was built the 12th week of 2015. Refer to Figure 113-15. Kinicity is a fault in the tire that can cause the vehicle to pull to one side due to the cone effect, or shape, of the tire. Refer to Figure 113-16. Notice the angle of the belt material in this worn tire. The angle of the belt fabric can cause a ply steer, or slight pulling force toward one side of the vehicle. Refer to Figure 21-17. Slip angle is the angle between the direction the tire tread is heading and the direction it is pointed. Vehicle handling and tire slip angle. The tire surface contact area or tire patch size is about one-half the area of one page of this book. All accelerating, braking, and cornering forces of a vehicle are transferred to the pavement at just four spots. The combined area of these four spots is about equal to the size of this open book. Think about this whenever braking or cornering. As a vehicle is turned, the wheels are moved while the tires remain in contact with the road. These actions twist the carcass of the tire and create a slip angle between the direction the wheel is pointing and the direction the tread is pointing. See Figure 113-17. The contact patch is deformed and snaps back into place as the twisted tire carcass returns to its original shape. This movement causes a slight delay in the turning of the vehicle and causes tire wear as the tread rubber moves in relation to the pavement during cornering. Refer to Figure 113-18. Cutaway of a run-flat tire showing the reinforced sidewalls and the required pressure sensor. Spare tires. Most vehicles today come equipped with space-saver spare tires that are smaller than the wheels and tires that are on the vehicle. The reason for the small size is to reduce the size and weight of the entire vehicle and to increase fuel economy by having the entire vehicle weigh less by not carrying a heavy spare tire and wheel around. The style and type of these spare tires have changed a great deal over the last several of years, and different makes and types of vehicles use various types of spare tires. Caution: before using a spare tire, always read the warning label, if so equipped, and understand all use restrictions. For example, some spare tires are not designed to exceed 50 miles per hour, or 80 kilometers per hour, or be driven more than 500 miles, or 800 kilometers. Many small, space-saving spare tires use a higher than normal air inflation pressure, usually 60 psi, or 414 kilopascals. Even though the tire often differs in construction, size, diameter, and width from the vehicle's original tires, it is amazing that the vehicle usually handles the same during normal driving. Obviously, these tires are not constructed with the same durability as a full-size tire and should be removed from service as soon as possible. Note: when was the last time you checked the tire pressure in your spare tire? The spare tire pressure should be checked regularly. Run-flat tires. Run-flat tires, abbreviated RFT, are designed to operate without any air for a limited distance, usually 50 miles at 55 miles per hour. This feature allows vehicle manufacturers to build vehicles without the extra room and weight of a spare tire and jack assembly. A typical run-flat tire, also called extended mobility tire abbreviated, EMT, or zero pressure abbreviated, ZP, tire, requires the use of an air pressure sensor transmitter and a dash-mounted receiver to warn the driver that a tire has lost pressure. Because of the reinforced sidewalls, the vehicle handles almost the same with or without air pressure. See Figures 113-18 and 113-19. Caution: tire engineers warn that rapid cornering should be avoided if a run-flat tire has zero air pressure. The handling during quick maneuvers is often unpredictable and could be dangerous. Refer to Figure 113-19. A conventional tire on the left and a run-flat tire on the right, showing what happens when there is no air in the tire. PAX run-flat tires. Michelin developed a run-flat tire that has three unique components. A special wheel that has two bead seats that are of different diameters. The outside bead seat is 10 mm smaller in diameter than the inside bead seat. This means that a conventional tire cannot be installed on a PAX-style wheel. A urethane support ring that is designed to support the weight of the vehicle in the event of a flat tire. A special tire that is designed to operate without air. See Figure 113-20. Refer to Figure 113-20. The PAX run-flat tire system is composed of three unique components: a special asymmetrical wheel, a urethane support ring, and a special tire. Tech tip: PAX replacement tip. In most cases, the fastest and easiest approach to follow if a PAX tire requires replacement is to purchase a replacement tire/wheel assembly. While more expensive than replacing just the tire, this approach is often used to help the vehicle owner get back on the road faster without any concerns as to whether the replacement tire was properly installed. The PAX tire design has a unique sizing, such as, refer to chart on page 1349. Servicing a PAX wheel/tire assembly: if a flat tire occurs or when a PAX tire becomes worn and requires replacement, special care should be taken to properly remove the tire from the wheel. Because the urethane support ring prevents the tire bead from entering the drop center section of the wheel, the outside bead should be broken from the wheel, and then the support ring removed before the tire can be removed from the wheel. General Motors TPC rating. All General Motors original equipment tires have a rating that identifies the size as well as the tread design, wear, traction, and heat resistance factors. All of these factors are combined in a set of numbers and letters that is imprinted in the tire mold. This is referred to as the Tire Performance Criteria, TPC, rating of the tire. If a customer wants to have the same tire performance in a replacement tire, Then replace it with any brand of tire that has the same TPC identification. See Figure 113-21. Refer to Figure 113-21. The tire performance criteria specification number is imprinted on the sidewall of all tires used on General Motors vehicles from the factory. Frequently asked question. What is a low rolling resistance tire? Low rolling resistance, abbreviated LRR, tires reduce rolling resistance, which is the power robbing friction between the tire and crown. The E-metric tire, designated for use on electric or hybrid vehicles, operates at higher inflation pressures, reduced load percentages, and lower rolling resistance. These tires were first used on the GM EV1 electric vehicle. To soften the ride of tires pumped with additional air, a new tire profile was developed. Narrower rim width and rounder sidewalls make the tire more shock absorbent. To make the tires roll more freely, low rolling resistant tread compounds are molded into smaller tread elements that flex easily and with less friction when they touch the road. LRR tires are available from most major tire manufacturers, including Michelin the Energy MX V4 Plus and Goodyear Viva 2. According to tire engineers, the basic trade-off of low rolling resistance is poor wet traction performance. To improve wet road performance and traction requires the use of more silica in the tread, which increases the cost of the tire. Neither a technician nor a vehicle owner can determine the relative rolling resistance unless the tires are compared using a coast-down test from highway speed to zero or a laboratory testing machine. Tire selection considerations. Selecting the proper tire is very important for the proper handling and safety of any vehicle. Do not select a tire by styling or looks alone. For best value and highest satisfaction, follow these guidelines. Refer to chart on page 1350. Refer to Figure 113-22. The size of the wheel is usually cast or stamped into the wheel. This wheel is 7 inches wide. The letter J refers to the contour of the bead seat area of the wheel. Caution: if changing tire sizes or styles beyond the recommendations as stated here, consult a knowledgeable tire store representative for help in matching wheel and tire combinations to your vehicle. Note: some tires may be 5 or more years old when purchased. Always check the date code. Wheels. The concept of a wheel has not changed in the last 5,000 years, but the style and materials used have changed a lot. Early automotive wheels were constructed from wood with a steel band as the tire. Today's wheels are constructed of steel or aluminum alloy. The center section of the wheel that attaches to the hub is called the center section or spider because early wheels used wooden spokes that resembled a spider's web. The rubber tire attaches to the rim of the wheel. The rim has two bead flanges where the bead of the tire is held against the wheel when the tire is inflated. The shape of this flange is very important and is designated by tire and rim association letters. For example, a wheel designated 14x6JJ means that the diameter of the wheel is 14 inch and the wheel is 6 inches wide measured from inside to inside of the flanges. The letters JJ indicate the exact shape of the flange area. See Figure 113-22. This flange area shape and the angle that the rim drops down from the flange are important because of the following. They permit a good seal between the rim and the tire. They help retain the tire on the rim in the event of loss of air. This is the reason why modern wheels are called safety rim wheels. See Figure 113-23. Run flat tires, tires that are designed to operate without air for a limited distance without damage, often require a specific wheel rim shape. Wheel offset. Offset is a very important variable in wheel design. If the center section, spider, is centered on the outer rim, the offset is zero. Wheel offset is often referred to as ET, which stands for Einpressdf in German. See Figure 113-24. Refer to Figure 113-23. The wheel rim well provides a space for the tire to fit during mounting, the bead seat provides a tire-to-wheel sealing surface, the flange holds the beads in place. Refer to Figure 113-24. A cross-section of a wheel showing part designations. Positive offset. The wheel has a positive offset if the center section is outward from the wheel centerline. Front-wheel drive vehicles commonly use positive offset wheels to improve the loading on the front wheels and to help provide for a favorable scrub radius. Negative offset. The wheel has a negative offset if the center section is inboard, or dished, from the wheel centerline. See Figure 113-25. Avoid using replacement wheels that differ from the original offset. Refer to Figure 113-25. Offset is the distance between the centerline of the wheel and the wheel mounting surface. Backspacing. Backspacing, also called rear spacing or backside setting, is the distance between the back rim edge and the wheel center section mounting pad. This is not the same as offset. Backspacing can be measured directly with a ruler, as shown in Figure 113-26. Determining bolt circle. On four lug axles and wheels, the bolt circle measurement is simply taken from center to center on opposite studs or holes, as shown in Figure 113-27. On five lug axles and wheels, it is a little harder to determine bolt circle. One method is to measure from the far edge of one bolt hole to the center of the hole two over from the first, as shown in Figure 113-28. Another method for a 5-lug wheel is to measure from center to center between two adjacent studs and convert this measurement into bolt circle diameter, as in the following chart. See Figure 113-29. Center to center distance bolt circle diameter. Refer to chart on page 1351. Steel wheels. Steel is the traditional wheel material. A steel wheel is very strong due to its design shape and the fact that it is work-hardened during manufacturing. In fact, most of the strength of a steel wheel is due to its work hardening. Painting and baking cycles also increase the strength of a steel wheel. Steel wheels are formed from welded hoops that are flared and joined to stamped spiders. Aluminum wheels. Forged and cast aluminum wheels are commonly used on cars and trucks. Forged means that the aluminum is hammered or forged under pressure into shape. A forged aluminum wheel is much stronger than a cast aluminum wheel. A cast aluminum wheel is constructed by pouring liquid, molten aluminum into a mold. After the aluminum has cooled, the cast aluminum wheel is removed from the mold and machined. Aluminum wheels are usually thicker than steel wheels and require special wheel weights when balancing. Coated or covered wheel weights should be used when balancing aluminum wheels to prevent galvanic corrosion damage to the wheel. Most aluminum wheels use an alloy of aluminum. Aluminum can be combined, alloyed, with copper, manganese, silicon, or other elements to achieve the physical strength and characteristics for the exact product. Aluminum alloy wheels are often called alloy wheels. Some racing wheels are made from a lighter weight metal called magnesium. These wheels are called mag wheels, an abbreviation for magnesium. True magnesium wheels are not practical for production because their cost and corrosion are excessive compared with steel or aluminum alloy wheels. The term mag wheel, however, is still heard when referring to alloy, aluminum, wheels. Note, if purchasing replacement aftermarket wheels, check that they are certified by the SFI. SFI is the Specialty Equipment Manufacturers Association, SEMA, Foundation, Incorporated. SEMA and SFI are non-government agencies that were formed by the manufacturers themselves to establish standards for safety. Refer to Figure 113-26. Backspacing, rear spacing, is the distance from the mounting pad to the edge of the rim. Most custom wheels use this measurement method to indicate the location of the mounting pad in relation to the rim. Refer to Figure 113-27. Bolt circle is the diameter of a circle that can be drawn through the center of each lug hole or stud. The bolt circle is sometimes referred to as PCD for pitch circle diameter. Refer to Figure 113-28. Measuring the bolt circle on a 5-lug wheel is difficult, but a quick and easy way includes measuring as shown to determine the approximate bolt circle of a 5-lug wheel. Refer to Figure 113-29. Measure center-to-center distance and compare the distance to the figures in the chart and the text to determine the diameter for a 5-lug bolt circle. Chrome-clad wheels. Chrome-clad wheels have become an increasingly popular option on many vehicles. This type of wheel has the following construction features. A chrome-plated plastic cladding applied to the front of the wheel. The cladding is permanently attached to the aluminum wheel with adhesive foam. And the foam material is not present near the conical seat area, center, of the wheel. Note, without the support of the backing foam around the mounting stud holes, it is possible to damage the cladding when mounting the wheel on a balancer. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's instructions when working with chrome-clad wheels. Refer to Figure 113-30. A typical JWL symbol for the Japan Wheel Light Metal Standard Mark. Frequently asked question. What does this mark in a wheel mean? The symbol JWL, for Japan Wheel Light Metal, means that the wheel meets the technical standards for passenger car light alloy disc wheels. See the mark in Figure 113-30. The manufacturer is responsible for conducting the inspection set forth in the technical standard, and the JWL mark is displayed on those products that pass the inspection. Tire valves. All tires use a tire valve, called a Schrader valve, to hold air in the tire. The Schrader valve was invented in New York in 1844 by August Schrader for the Goodyear brothers, Charles, Henry, and Nelson. Today, Schrader valves are used not only as valves in tires but on fuel injection systems, air conditioning systems, and air shock, or ride control, systems. Most tire experts agree that the valve stem, which includes the Schrader valve, should be replaced whenever tires are replaced. Tires can last 4 or more years, and in that time the valve stem can become brittle and crack. A defective or leaking valve stem is a major cause of air loss. Low tire pressure can cause the tire to become overheated. Replacement valve stems are therefore a wise investment whenever purchasing new tires. Aluminum, alloy, wheels often require special metal valve stems that use a rubber washer and are actually bolted to the wheel. See Figure 113-31. Note, if the vehicle is equipped with a tire pressure monitoring system, a nickel tire valve is used. See to Chapter 114 for details. Refer to Figure 113-31. Figure A, a rubber snap-in style tire valve assembly. Figure B, a metal clamp type tire valve assembly used on most high pressure, over 60 psi, tire applications such as is found on many trucks, RVs, and trailers. The internal Schrader valve threads into the valve itself and can be replaced individually, but most experts recommend replacing the entire valve assembly every time the tires are replaced to help prevent air loss. Unsprung weight. The lighter the wheel and tire assembly, the faster it can react to bumps and dips in the road surface and thus the better the ride. The chassis and the body of any vehicle are supported by some sort of spring suspension system. It is the purpose of the suspension system to isolate the body of the vehicle from the road surface. Also, for best handling, all four tires must remain in contact with the road. After all, a tire cannot grip the road if it leaves the ground after hitting a bump. The wheel and tire are unsprung weight because they are not supported by the vehicle's springs. If heavy wheels or tires are used, every time the vehicle hits a bump, the wheel is forced upward. The heavy mass of the wheel and tire would transmit this force through the spring of the vehicle and eventually to the driver and passengers. Obviously, a much lighter wheel and tire assembly reacts faster to bumps and dips in the road surface. The end result is a smoother riding vehicle with greater control. An aluminum wheel is generally lighter than the same size stamped steel wheel. This is not always the case, however, so before purchasing aluminum wheels, check their weight. Note, putting oversized tires on an off-road type vehicle is extremely dangerous. The increased unsprung weight can cause the entire vehicle to leave the ground after hitting a bump in the road. The increased body height necessary to clear the larger tire seriously affects driveshaft angles and wheel alignment angles, making the vehicle very difficult to control. Lug nuts. Lug nuts are used to hold a wheel to the brake disc, brake drum, or wheel bearing assembly. Most manufacturers use a stud in the brake or bearing assembly with a lug nut to hold the wheel. Some models of VW, Audi, and Mazda use a lug bolt that is threaded into a hole in the brake drum or bearing assembly. Note, some aftermarket manufacturers offer a stud conversion kit to replace the lug bolt with a conventional stud and lug nut. Typical lug nuts are tapered so that the wheel stud will center the wheel onto the vehicle. Another advantage of the taper of the lug nut and wheel is to provide a suitable surface to prevent the nuts from loosening. The taper, usually 60 degrees, forms a wedge that helps ensure that the lug nut will not loosen. Steel wheels are deformed slightly when the lug nut is torqued down against the wheel mounting flange. Be certain that the taper is toward the vehicle. Many alloy wheels use a shank nut type lug nut that has straight sides without a taper. This style of nut must be used with wheels designed for this nut type. If replacement wheels are used on any vehicle, check with the wheel manufacturer as to the proper type and style of lug nut. Figure 113-32 shows several of the many styles of lug nuts that are available. Size. Lug nuts are sized to the thread size of the stud onto which they screw. The diameter and the number of threads per inch are commonly stated. Since some vehicles use left-hand threads, RH and LH are commonly stated, indicating right-hand and left-hand threads. A typical size is 7/16-20 RH, where the 7/16 indicates the diameter of the wheel stud and 20 indicates that there are 20 threads per inch. Another common fractional size is 1/2 by 20. Metric sizes such as M12 by 1.5 use a different sizing method. Other commonly used metric lug sizes include M12 by 1.25 and M14 by 1.5. Obviously, metric wheel studs require metric lug nuts. Lug studs. Lug studs are usually installed in hubs or drums using a press fit. Serrations on the shoulder of the stud provide support. Most studs are replaceable and should be replaced if the threads are damaged. Frequently asked question. What is a knockoff wheel? A knockoff design wheel is retained to the axle hub using one large retaining nut that has three arms that are used to loosen and tighten them. They are mostly found on older European sports cars and race cars. The wheel is removed by using a lead hammer which has the weight to loosen the nut yet soft enough to not damage the aluminum spokes of the nut. See Figure 113-33. Refer to Figure 113-32. Various styles of lug nuts. Refer to Figure 113-33. Figure A, a typical knockoff type wheel showing the large three-prong wing nuts and the threads on the wheel hub. Figure B, a look-alike knockoff wheel that looks like a knockoff but uses lug nuts. Tire inspection. Step by step. Step 1. Check the tire information placard, usually located on the driver's door or door jamb, for the specified tire size and inflation pressure. Step 2. Visually check the tires for abnormal wear or damage. Step 3. Remove the tire valve cap and visually check the condition of the valve stem. Step 4. Check inflation pressure by pushing the tire pressure gauge straight onto the end of the tire valve. If a hissing sound is heard, then the reading will not be accurate. Step 5. Read the pressure and compare to specifications. Use an analog or digital gauge if possible, which have been proven to be more accurate than a mechanical pencil type gauge. Step 6. A typical tire tread depth gauge. Step 7. The blade of the tire tread depth gauge is pushed down into the groove of the tire at the lowest part. Step 8. Remove the gauge from the tire and read the tread depth at the metal housing. Tread depth is usually measured in 1/32 of an inch. And Step 9. If the top of Lincoln's head is visible, then the tread depth is lower than 2/32 of an inch, which is the legal limit in many states. Review questions. Question 1. List the various parts of a tire and explain how a tire is constructed. Question 2. What is the aspect ratio? Question 3. List the factors that should be considered when purchasing tires. Question 4. Explain the three major areas of the uniform tire quality. Grading system. Question 5. What is the difference between wheel back spacing and offset? Chapter quiz. Question 1. A defective tire can cause which of the following? A. Pulling to one side. B. Erratic steering. C. Darting or jumping. D. Any of the above. Question 2. The part of the tire that is under just the tread of a radial tire is called the A. Bead. B. Body, or carcass, ply. C. Belt. D. Inner liner. Question 3. A tire is labeled 215/60R by 1592T. The T indicates A. its speed rating. B. its tread wear rating. C. its load rating. D. its temperature resistance rating. Question 4. Tire quality grading system includes A. tread wear. B. braking traction performance. C. temperature resistance. D. all of the above. Question 5. Which size lug nut would fit a metric wheel stud? A. 716-20 liters height. B. half by 20. C. M12 by 1.5. D. 716-20 RH. Question 6. Radial tires can cause a vehicle to pull to one side while driving. This is called radial tire pull and is often due to A. the angle of the body, carcass, plies. B. tire conicity. C. tread design. D. bead design. Question 7. What precautions should the driver of a vehicle equipped with run flat tires adhere to? A. Should not be inflated to more than 10 psi. B. Should not be driven over 50 at 55 miles per hour with 0 psi of inflation pressure. C. Rapid cornering should be avoided if the tire has 0 air pressure. D. Both B and C. Question 8. When selecting new tires for a vehicle, all are important consideration except A. tire size. B. size of the lettering on the sidewall. C. speed rating. D. tire width. Question 9. What do the letters JJ mean in a wheel designation size labeled 14 by 7JJ? A. the offset of the rim. B. the bolt circle code. C. the backspacing of the rim. D. The shape of the flange area. Question 10. Wheel backspacing is also called A. Rear spacing. B. Positive offset. C. Negative offset. D. Offset. End of chapter 113.